we can get caught up in the moment, John, with stuff. That's not what this is. This was, in our generation, we've had Morris and Pedro and Schilling and some amazing postseason performances. But I just think what Bumgarner did, carrying the rest of a not very good starting staff, there's nothing to compare it to in our lifetime.
It was really historic, guys. It really was. And you go back and you can look at it from any historical angle. The rarity, the sheer rarity of a guy throwing 9 innings in one game in a game 5 and then taking just 2 days of rest and coming back with at least 5 innings pitched. That was the first time we've seen that happen since Mickey Lolich in 68 with the Tigers. So quite clearly for many baseball fans, this was the first time they had seen that in their lifetimes, a guy going 9 innings in one game and then coming back, let alone those were 9 shutout innings. So you line up all these things, and he's one of the only pitchers in history to do what he did, the combination of the Game 5 shutout and then what he did last night. So I think the thing that really struck me, guys, was he was that first inning he came out there, he was maybe a little bit vulnerable. He gave the base hit to Infante, and you wondered if maybe he was going to be able to have that same type of command and relief that we had seen out of him as a starter in this series. But all of a sudden, he settled in, and then he just started mowing them down one after another. It was just it was remarkable. And really, I don't know if we'll see another dominant performance like that ever again in the World Series.
Not to pick apart what we saw from Bumgarner at all, because obviously it's historic. But if you're the Kansas City Royals and you're sitting there in the fifth inning and you know how good this guy is, were you a little disappointed in their approach? I mean, like Madison Bumgarner, as good as he was, he could only go so many pitches last night before he got tired out. It felt like the Royals were chasing early and often.
They were. And I think as you look back, it's a great point, Andrew. I think that was the key point in the game. Obviously, Infante gets the base hit, and then they go ahead and they give up the out right away with the bunt for Escobar. And you wonder if maybe that was not necessarily the right call, because Bumgarner, he was obviously, again, he was vulnerable. I think that was that one inning when he was vulnerable, and you handed him an out right away. And that might have allowed him to settle in just a little bit. And then, as you pointed out, the Royals seemed to chase some pitches outside the zone, which I think, again, I think helped them settle in even more. As strange as it sounds, and you certainly don't want to ever take pitches because then it puts you in a disadvantage because his secondary stuff is so good, and he can just put you away with that cutter breaking ball that he's been throwing. You don't want to necessarily do that. But again, that was where the Royals, I think that you're right, that was the one moment when they really got themselves in a tough spot, because they went outside the zone, they started swinging. I think they made some outs when, frankly, they didn't have to throw him a strike. And as soon as he did that, he was just locked in from then on. And it was at that point in time, I think a lot of the conversation in the press box, guys, was about, okay, how many innings can he do? Maybe is it 3 innings at the max, and then all of a sudden it's 4, and then it's 5. I mean, that just doesn't happen. I mean, in this day and age, think about how many times we talk on this show all season long about being cautious with pitching and pitching injuries, and how careful every manager and GM are when it comes to their pitching. And here's a guy that goes more than 60 pitches on two days rest. I mean, it's just after throwing 117, I mean, it just doesn't happen. It just does not happen at all. And as soon as he got locked in, it was just as if he had a full rest, and it was performance for the ages. There's no other way to describe it.
John Morosi, putting it very, very succinctly on what happened last night. He's joining us from Kansas City, Missouri, after an amazing Game 7 that you saw in SportsCenter. So let's two things on the Gordon hit. We were kicking it around. Some people obviously were last night on sending Alex Gordon. I'm adamant that there's no right call. There's probably a 90% chance he gets thrown out. But, John, there's a 90% chance Madison Bumgarner does not give up back-to-back hits. Was there anything from your vantage point? The other angle I want you to address is I think Ned Yost is asleep by not pinch-running Jared Dyson at that point. Anything that bounces away from Posey, even to the on-deck circle, what a tragedy that would have been if Dyson could have scored on a ball kicked around and couldn't. Was there anything, address both those, anything from your angle that where you say, hey, you got to go for it there, because it's Bumgarner and there's two out and it's a one-run game?
Sure. You know, it's interesting. I was watching it unfold. I had a pretty decent view because I was right in the press box from behind the catcher. And I thought one thing, Gordon, as he's getting to first base, you almost wondered. I actually think if Gordon had just taken off, and there's no way to know that it was going to kick, because obviously in this situation, he was starting to take a little bit of a loop at first base just to do your normal sort of half, you know, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 steps towards second base and then retreat back. So he was kind of starting to take a little bit of an arc and a loop towards second base, and you wonder if he had just made a straight out sprint from the batter's box. And again, there's no way to know there's going to be a misplay, because that's not really how you would approach that play in general. But you wonder if he had just had a straight out sprint from the batter's box the entire time. And again, there's no way to know that. But if he had, you wonder if you might have had a better chance at it, because again, it's not how you normally play it. But and obviously the ball kicks away from Perez, who was of course backing up Blanco on the play. I mean, there was so many things that I actually thought Blanco had a chance to catch it on the fly. I was surprised that you know knowing that he had Perez behind him, that he didn't try to just lay out and catch the ball to begin with. Because I thought actually, you know, Blanco's a very good defensive center fielder. I thought he had a good read on it and that he'd be able to catch it on the fly. So a couple of things there where maybe Gordon could approach it just a little bit differently. Blanco might have been able to catch it. And I think everybody in the press box was almost rooting for Dershowitz to send him, because it just would have been the most unbelievable ending to a game. And all that being said, guys, let's just mention this right now. Remember who's catching. It's Buster Posey. And this is the first year of the Buster Posey rule, so to speak. And I think probably on a certain level, MLB is wondering, oh my gosh, are we going to have this thing end on like a technicality? Where literally that would have been baseball's worst nightmare. It would have been like the Hasek Hull thing.
Yeah, the Brett Hull goal. Yeah,
right. Bang. Exactly, because you do not want your jewel event to end on a technicality. And if that had happened, was he blocking the play? Did he give him lane? All those things we've debated all year long, that could have happened there in the seventh game of the World Series.
Yeah, just one quick thought, and you are right. I'm glad you said that about Alex Gordon, because there was some commentary last night that it's like, oh, he wasn't hustling, like he wasn't running out of ground ball. It was it's totally different. You're not thinking about an inside the park home run when you hit a liner to center.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the play is just that you, as and again, I think as a hitter, and again, I've never been in that situation, but as a hitter in the major leagues, I would imagine you see that ball down and you're just like, well, I got to make sure I get down there and get a good secondary. That's just not, you're not thinking that. You instinctively see the ball down. You're like, okay, maybe it's a base hit, so I got to make sure I just get to first and then take a good under control lead to second base. But again, if he had known it was going to get behind him and he had been sprinting the whole time, he might have had a shot. But you cannot fault Gordon for that, because that's just not how you approach that play.
Great stuff, John. We got a blast. Free agency is coming. Postseason awards. We'll be talking about all of it with you over the next few weeks.
It's time for me to study up, guys.